Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from Midtown Atlanta on the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower overlooking Majestic Buckhead, where summer is upon us and it is warm here in Atlanta and absolutely delightful. So sorry for those people in the Midwest that just don't seem to be getting a break with all of these tornadoes and everything. And like everybody, we stay tuned to the news as we see truth and the darkness being dispelled by the light as witness after witness points to the fact that we live in a society of massive governmental corruption. We're not going to talk about that today, however. That's more for Jack Watts Live. Today, we have Dr. Robert McGee with us, and he is going to be teaching us. And primarily, we want everybody to stay tuned, because starting 2 weeks from today, I believe on the 18th, we begin our 12-part series where we teach the teachers how to teach the search for reality, which you need to get. It's transformational, and we live in such uncertain times. Knowing who you are, knowing who God is, and understanding His will and what He's about is the only thing that's going to be able to sustain you. Before I introduce Robert, Stacy, tell everybody where they can get the Search for Reality.
They can go to www.mcgeepublishing.com. That's M-C-G-E-E. Or they can call me at 800-460-4673.
Thanks, Stacy. And now, Robert, you're on the line, I think. Is that correct?
I am. I wanted to talk about strongholds today, right?
About absolutely.
How they're formed and how they're destroyed. Because I think a lot of times people hear strongholds and that we're to tear them down, et cetera, but they're still sort of wishy-washy of what they really are. The first thing we have to understand is that war has been declared on us by Satan. And Revelation 12:17 says the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. In other words, it's very clear in Scripture that we have an enemy. But interesting enough, this is like no other enemy in the sense that Satan cannot really do anything to us unless we choose to allow him to do so. If you look at Colossians 2:5, it talks about the fact that Christ at the cross stripped the principalities and authority and triumphed over them. So what I'm saying is that unless we choose to cooperate with our enemy does not win. But unfortunately, everything he does has to do with deception and being cunning and deceiving us to cooperate with him. We simply do not have to allow him to win, but we do, and when we do, we create strongholds in our life. Now, strongholds basically set inside of us, waiting for something to respond to. Sometimes we go along and we wonder, now, why did I respond to that way? That didn't make any sense. Well, it has to do with the fact that we have inside of us given power to ways of relating to the world which are called strongholds, right? So these strongholds typically are triggered by thoughts that are have a certain variation to them, but they have they deal with our perception of who we are and who God is. So I thought maybe for a few moments today we would look at where the first one occurred. And obviously it occurred with Eve in the garden, right?
Okay, this is the first stronghold.
Yeah, this is the first time God teaches us about listening to Satan and what he wants us to hear. See, I don't think many people actually sit back and look at their thought life and say to themselves, I wonder if I should be thinking this. I wonder if thinking this is going to be harmful to me. Most people just think what they think and go on with life.
Well, and they
don't think
they have any power over their thoughts.
Yeah, and because they don't, they get themselves in a world of hurt. If we look at what happened to Eve, it starts off and says, the serpent was more crafty than any other animal. Now, crafty means that he was very cunning. He was very deceptive. And what we have to understand is everything that Satan does usually surrounds deception. Because irregardless of what you see on television or movies, the demonic cannot come and get you and do damage to you unless you allow them to do so, or you allow someone else who is being controlled by them, and we can talk about that in a moment, how you deal with that, to control them. But if you look at what he did, he came and he dressed the woman individually. And I will tell you that most times when Satan comes to us, he doesn't try to address us as in crowds, right? He does so individually, and there's some evidence in Scripture that Adam, even though he was nearby, really was not listening in on this, right? Because he was not deceived, but Eve was. So it says, Satan comes, and this is very, very important because he always comes with a question. He rarely comes with a statement. Because if you ask the right question, you can get people to think whatever you want them to think. And
that's really interesting, Robert.
I
don't know that I've ever actually thought of it that way. Satan comes to us, or demonic spirits, with a question, not a statement of what, but a question. Okay, go ahead.
Well,
I want people to get that. That's a big deal.
He questions whether God really say to them, you must not eat from any tree in the garden. Now, with that question, there's secondary information there, such as, has God really limited you this way? With the implication that God has done something that he shouldn't have done to them. Now, how many times does he come to us and say, well, did that really happen
God's
to
not
you?
Fair. God's
and,
not fair. I mean, that's, I mean, in our society today, right now, the raging controversy is God's not fair by judging homosexuals. It's fair for them to get married. And how unchristian and judgmental to say otherwise. And I hear it every day. That's the raging one right this second.
Well, Satan always comes to accuse God. That's how because if he can plant that, if you deal with someone who has gone through a satanic ritual abuse, as they went through that abuse, the abusers always are talking to them about God, where is he? Why isn't he here for you? In other words, their whole focus of the people who take part in satanic rituals is to get the victim to question God. And they do it over and over and over again and ingrate that into their almost their thought process, because obviously they say, well, where was God? What just happened to you? How come God allowed that to happen to you? When they're the ones doing it to the person. But they're always into saying, always into blaming God for something. And here in the Garden of Eden, Satan's coming to Eve and saying, well, did God really say you can't eat from any tree of the garden? And the implication is, well, how does he get by with that? Why are you putting up with that? And which was his sort of character anyway. Then the woman said to the serpent, and this is very critical, because once you get caught in a conversation, see, first of all, she should not have had a conversation with the serpent, right?
Right.
I mean, once she decided to have this conversation, she was had. And once we begin to, that's the point of monitoring what you're thinking, because if you will monitor what you're thinking, you will come to the point of saying, I'm not thinking that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will not think that. Now, he will make it seem reasonable for you to think whatever you're thinking. But if you will entertain him, he will take you down the path, because we're not smarter than Satan. But he can't get to us unless we, as it were, cooperate with him in this process. So what we have here, he said, you must not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, but God said you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Well, first of all, Eve messed up by entertaining a conversation with Satan. Now, I will tell you that people think that they can do things because it's their right to do whatever they want to do. And so if they want to talk to Satan or entertain Satan, then that's fine. All right? They should have the right to do that. No, you'll get caught in this one. All right? Secondly, she changed what God said. See, God did not say that you will die if you touch it. He said you'll die if you eat it. Now, obviously, if you eat it, you're going to be touching it. But he didn't say that touching it was forbidden. He said eating it was forbidden. So here's Satan talking to Eve, and he says, well, I have her now, because she is not only talking to me, but she is changing what God told her. And one of the things that Satan does in our lives is he gets us to think thoughts, which we have to admit, this couldn't be from God. This thought couldn't be from God. But we think about it anyway, and we add to Scripture. One of the things in the book that's important is to realize what happened at salvation, what Christ did for us on the cross, what penalty did he pay, because there is an enormous amount of destruction that occurs when we do not believe that Christ paid for all of our sins. And I know that some people listening to this will say, well, he didn't. I mean, if I can choose him as my Savior, I can choose to not have him as my Savior. Well, I'm sorry, but you're not going to find that in Scripture, right?
Right.
It may seem reasonable to you. It may seem logical to you. You may think, well, what do you mean? I make a choice to accept Christ's provision, and that deals with all my sins. Yeah, that's exactly what Christ has said. That when he was on the cross and he says it's finished, he meant that he had paid for everything. But there are so many people in Christendom that are very uncomfortable because they go, well, I'll tell you what, if that were true, then you just go out and do anything you want to. Well, you can. But the bottom line is, sin is still destructive. It's like they think that they're holding them in their salvation state by not doing certain things. In other words, they're adding to what Christ did on the cross to hold himself in that place. And I mean, I have talked with so many Christians who are really nice people, can be missionaries, anybody, all right? And when you start talking about this, they go, well, no. You have to be able to choose to get out of the contract with God. And I'm just saying, there's nothing in Scripture that says you can or that it will happen. When you choose to follow Christ and you choose him as your Savior and that his death was sufficient for all your sins, both past, present, and future, then you sit back and say, well, then why would I behave myself? Well, because sin is destructive, period. And it's that's what we have to understand. There's many reasons why to not just go do anything we want to do. None of it is very helpful to our lives.
Let me interject here that you can learn more about this from the Search for Reality. Our website is www.mcgeepublishing.com, and that's MCGEE. And our phone number is 800-460-4673. I'm Stacy, and I'll be glad to help you.
Okay. Just by the way, also, for the people that are, you know, that are calling in that have trouble with alcohol, that have trouble with codependency, that's like the number one thing for Christian people is codependency or sexual abuse, all kinds of things that we talk about, you know, on my blog, Pushing Jesus and everything. We have resources for all of it. Literally, we have hundreds of items to help with anything that is absolutely destroying your life because, you know, God wants you to have the abundant life, and when you're not experiencing it, there are reasons for it. And, you know, we do have those kind of materials. Sorry, Robert, I wanted to just add that. Go ahead.
Well, that's true. Okay. So what we have after Eve chooses to distort what God said, we have Satan coming back and says, you will not surely die, the serpent said. Of course, he wasn't messing around now. He got her to distort what God said. And at that point, the green light went on in his mind and says, I have her now. Because I can say to her almost anything, and she will agree with it, because she's already
disagree with God.
What God said. Yeah. And so he says, you won't die. And then says, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, isn't this interesting? This temptation seems to surround being more godly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That you'll be like God. There you go.
Yeah, and so what you're talking about here is, and this is happening every day in Christendom, people are getting caught up in things not because they have stayed up all night thinking about how devious they can be or how ugly or sinful or whatever, but a lot of times it's because they've been convinced that if they do X, Y, and Z, they'll become even more Christ-like. And in the process, they lose it. And they become a victim of Satan because now, you see, we're seeing the stronghold created now because She listened to what Satan said, and then, in fact, it says up here, the woman actually looked at the tree that was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, so she took some. In other words, in her imagination, she's yet to eat the fruit yet, all right? She's still on her road, moving pretty quick. And now in her imagination, she's allowed her imagination to take over, so she begins to contemplate what it would be like if she went ahead and took the fruit. I'm just saying this. No one goes from A to Z in one step. Everybody who gets himself in the world of hurt has done so by contemplating doing what they end up doing. And when they do it, it gains hold of them. And so I know there's a lot of people say, well, I haven't done anything yet. I've thought about it, but I haven't done it yet. And in fact,
they might as well have, because they've already made the decision that if the opportunity arises, they will.
Well, and so what they've done is every time you act on that which is false, you give more and more strength to the stronghold. So the more she acted on what Satan was telling her, the stronger the stronghold got and the more grip it had on her. And that's the way it is today with everybody who, first of all, the first thing we have to begin to think about is controlling what we allow ourselves to think. And do not assume that you can think thoughts and get away with it, because you can't, right? It's just, I mean, most Christians think that, well, if I just think it, it's better than doing it. No. After a while, your thinking about it will get you there. And Satan knows it. That's really all he wants you to do is think about it. Because, see, he is operating in the spiritual realm. So when he gets you to cooperate in that spiritual realm with him, then he has you. Because he now has power in your life. And the more you think about it, the more you're caught in the system. And quite frankly, Eve did this to herself. Satan didn't go grab her arm and make it go up into the tree and snatch an apple out of the tree and put it in her mouth. He didn't do any of those things. She did it because she cooperated with him to a point that now the stronghold had a grip on her. And notice that what they would be like God, and it says knowing good and evil. Now, is that really true? They already knew good. They knew God. They had been introduced to God himself, the Creator. And they had walked in the evening in the garden with him. So they knew good. What they didn't know was evil. And that is the temptation that takes over every day in Christians' life, because they think about what evil would feel like and what it would be like to do evil. And once you think about, well, I mean, a little bit of evil probably couldn't hurt you too much, at that point you're just had, right?
Yeah.
So then she in her imagination she looked at the fruit, and in her imagination, once she got to that point, she was had, and she took some of it and ate it. Now, it then says, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. But later on in Scripture, we know that Adam was not deceived. It says that in Genesis 3:17, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree which I command you, you must not eat of it, then God goes on and curses the ground. But it says Adam in 1 Timothy, and I know that women don't like to hear this verse, but sorry, it's in Scripture. For Adam was formed in Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman having been deceived into transgression, on and on. Point being is, that's the reason why God held Adam more responsible, because Eve had been conned in, I mean, Adam wasn't talking to the devil, to Satan, to the serpent. Eve was. That's the reason I tell you, most of Satan's activity is not group activity. It's one-on-one. And people around you may not know, but what happened is once she ate of the fruit of the tree, now, it would have been pretty difficult for her to snatch an apple out of the tree. I don't know if it was an apple, whatever it was. Take a bite of it. Now, you're Adam. Now, you have to understand, these were man first version. These people had absolute clarity of thought. Their minds worked better than any other human mind from then till now, because they weren't clogged by sin. And if someone thinks that poor Adam and Eve, they just didn't know enough, you're crazy. They named all the animals, right? They had absolute intellect, because God did not create Adam and Eve with deficiencies. There weren't any deficiencies with them. So they were very clear in thought. And so when Adam saw this taking place, it wasn't a surprise, but what he actually did, and I'm not saying this is from Scripture, I'm just saying it looks like it, what it's describing. He chose to follow her into the fallen race. He had to know what just happened. And yet he took the apple, and he felt that he would make the sacrifice to eat it also, so he could be part of her world.
So, now, essentially, Adam was the first codependent person.
Yeah, and we see that every day, where people go, well, I know that she's not good, or I know he's not good for me, but I just have to be around them. I can't do without them, and on it goes. And it's just absolutely silliness if they stop and think about it. But, again, most people don't stop and think, well, what am I doing here, all right? What am I thinking? How deep in the hole am I getting? And so this was the first stronghold that was created, and God gave us the details. I mean, it's just unbelievable to see that God chose to give us a blow-by-blow of how this happened. He didn't do it because he needed, a few more words in his book. He did it to warn us about the steps that it takes to get into this kind of situation, and that you never know how bad you're getting until you get there.
There you go. That's a great message for today. We've got less than a minute. Stacy, give the telephone number one more time, please.
800-460-4673. The website is www.mcgeepublishing.com.
Thank you all, and Robert, this is really good. We see Christians that are so hurting, at least as hurting as the rest of the people in society, and it shouldn't be that way. It doesn't need to be that way, but they make these choices, and we're going to teach them how not to do it. And thank you, Stacy, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.